Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
What is moral? How can we make moral choices? Find out as Kirby Anderson looks to the character and commands of God today on Probe.
This week we'll be talking about making moral choices using the Bible and biblical principles. Our approach will be both philosophical and practical. A Christian view of morality is based upon the assumption that God exists and has revealed himself to the human race. He has chosen to reveal himself in nature and in human conscience. He has also revealed himself through the Bible and in the person of Jesus Christ. God's character is the ultimate standard of right and wrong, and even though the Bible was written long before the development of genetic engineering or modern media, it nevertheless provides principles that can be used to evaluate the morality of social, scientific, and technological issues. Biblical morality can be developed from learning to live God's way according to biblical principles. These principles do provide moral boundaries for behavior. Now, biblical morality is also based upon love that has its source in God. Jesus was asked by the teachers of the law, which was the most important commandment? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. The two most important commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. Essentially, all biblical principles rest upon this foundation, and these principles can be found in God's revelation in the Bible. God's character, as expressed in God's Word, should be diligently applied to every area of life. Jesus also taught Christians to love their enemies. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. As his opening phrase suggests, this was not the common practice of the day. In fact, it was completely contrary to the concept of love practiced in that day or even in our day. The Apostle Paul teaches that love is the law of Christ and thereby supreme and sufficient. He also teaches that love is the foundation of Christian obedience. Even if we manifest the gifts of the Spirit and do good works, they do not profit us unless they are done in love. He also teaches that God shows his love to us in that Christ died for us, and that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And this is not just theological truth, but the love of Christ controls us and provides us with an ability to live the Christian life.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Get your free copy of Kirby's transcript, Making Moral Choices, by going online at probe.org/radio. And join us next time as we help you apply God's truth to everyday life here on Probe.
How do we make proper moral choices based upon biblical principles? The Bible does provide biblical guidelines on a vast array of issues. Christians also have the liberty to make individual moral choices in areas of moral neutrality. Ultimately, making moral choices involves discerning the will of God in one's life. Now, whole books have been written on how we can know the will of God, but we can summarize a few key principles here. First, we can know God's will through the Bible. Before considering any other way to discern God's will, one should ask whether the Bible has already provided guidance in this area. The Bible is full of God's specific commands and principles. A teenager doesn't have to ask if he should get drunk. The Bible has already answered that question. An unmarried couple doesn't need to ask if they should live together before they marry. Again, the Bible has addressed the topic. The Bible provides boundaries and barriers to our moral actions. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, told them, "Do not go beyond what is written." A second way we discern God's will is through prayer. We are commanded to bring our requests before God. In Philippians 4:6, we're told, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." If we are earnestly reading the Bible and seeking God's will, he will reveal it to us, often through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We read in Romans 8:27 that the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. A third way we discern God's will is through our conscience. If our conscience is troubling us about a particular action or behavior, then we should refrain from that activity. Paul says that each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He adds that whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, the opposite is not necessarily true. In other words, conscience is a good stop sign, but not a green light. A troubled conscience is sufficient justification to refrain, and a guilty conscience is reason enough to stop a particular action or behavior. But a clear conscience is no justification for proceeding. The Bible teaches that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We can easily deceive ourselves into sin. I believe that Christians should strive to have a good conscience before God and men. A troubled conscience is reason to avoid inaction, but a clear conscience may not be sufficient justification to proceed. How do we make proper moral choices based upon biblical principles? Yesterday we talked about making moral decisions based upon the Bible, prayer, and our conscience, but what about times when the Bible does not clearly speak to a particular action? These areas of moral neutrality are still governed by biblical principles that guide our Christian liberty. Even though a particular action may not be prohibited in Scripture, it still may be offensive to others because of their social, ethnic, or religious background. Another person's family background or spiritual maturity is also a consideration Christians must make. The Apostle Paul articulates the principles guiding our liberty in Romans 14 and 15. The specific example that he uses involves the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. While this issue is of no moral concern today, it does provide key biblical principles which can apply in determining our response to issues not specifically addressed in the Bible. The first principle is that Christians are not to have a judgmental attitude towards one another in regard to issues that are morally neutral. Paul says in Romans 14:3 that the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, nor should the one who does not eat judge the one who eats. In other words, whether you participate in or refrain from a morally neutral activity, you should not be judgmental of the other person. No one has the right to force their moral conclusions on others when the Bible does not provide clear principles on the matter. Paul asks in Romans 14:4, "Who are you to judge the servant of another?" Christians are instructed to decide these matters for themselves as they consult the Bible and their conscience. Second, each Christian must decide what is right or wrong for him or her. Paul teaches that if you believe a particular action to be wrong for you, then it is wrong. He says in Romans 14:4, "I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." He taught that all things were clean. In other words, there was no sin in eating meat sacrificed to idols. It was morally neutral. But he also teaches that if a person believes it is sinful to indulge in such a practice, then it is indeed sinful for them. A key test of Christian obedience is whether a person can do so for the Lord. Christians are to live for the Lord because we are the Lord's. If one cannot participate in an activity while serving the Lord, then he or she should refrain. Paul says that whatever is not from faith is sin. Tomorrow we'll look at some other important principles. The Apostle Paul articulates the principles guiding our liberty in Romans 14 and 15. The specific example that he uses involves the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. While this issue is of no moral concern today, it does provide key biblical principles which we can apply in determining our response to issues not specifically addressed in the Bible. Now, yesterday we discussed two principles. First, Christians are not to have a judgmental attitude towards one another in regard to issues that are morally neutral. Second, in these issues of moral neutrality, each Christian must decide what is right or wrong for him or her. A key test of Christian obedience is whether a person can do so for the Lord. A third principle is whether a morally neutral activity would be an obstacle or a stumbling block to another believer. Christians should be aware of their actions on the Christian walk of others around them. While we may have liberty in Christ to participate in an action or behavior, another believer might be offended or adversely affected by what we do. Paul teaches that we have a moral responsibility to other believers. He says, "We who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength." In order to do so, we may have to limit our Christian liberty. At the same time, there is a balance between enjoying our liberty in Christ and trying not to give an offense. If one believes he or she can participate in an activity, then one should do so with a firm conviction before the Lord, but it would be wise not to participate publicly, but privately for the sake of a believer who might be hurt by one's action. A final principle is how a particular action or behavior will affect the individual believer's walk with the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Although these morally neutral practices are lawful, they may not be profitable and could actually master or even enslave a person. For example, there is nothing in the Bible about such things as poor nutrition, addiction to caffeine, watching lots of television, yet I think most would agree that such behaviors are not profitable. In fact, they can be frequently debilitating to the individual. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, that whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Although the Bible admonishes us to be honest and to tell the truth, honesty seems to be at an all-time low. One study of high school students found that 71% of them admitted to cheating on an exam at least once in the last 12 months, and 92% of them said they lied to their parents in the last 12 months, while 79% said they did so two or more times. So what does the Bible have to say about honesty and truth? Well, the Old Testament calls upon the people of God to deal honestly with one another. Leviticus 9:35 says, "You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity." Likewise, Proverbs 11:1 warns that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A righteous person does not take a bribe against the innocent. Isaiah pronounces a judgment on those who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. The New Testament admonishes Christians to have a good conscience and a desire to conduct themselves honorably in all things. Paul says he attempted to always maintain a blameless conscience before God and before men. Christians should have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Honesty also requires telling the truth. The Ten Commandments forbids both the swearing of false oaths and the bearing of false testimony. In the Old Testament, false witnesses were to suffer the same punishment that they had hoped to inflict upon the others. Telling the truth also involves more than false testimony in a court. Believers are not to spread false reports or to report the truth maliciously or to engage in slander. Speaking evil is prohibited, and it disqualifies a person from God's favor and from a leadership position in the church. In the Old Testament, oaths and vows were used many times. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, Hannah, Saul, David, Ezra, Nehemiah all swore oaths or vows, and the swearing of these oaths and vows underscores the seriousness of telling the truth and following up on one's commitment. We need truth-telling today like never before. Perhaps the greatest battle in society today is the battle over truth. Voters are skeptical of politicians. Proponents of various biomedical procedures like abortion and cloning often redefine terms and mislead the public about the true nature of the procedures they advocate. We need Christians to set an example by being honest and telling the truth.